Trade talk.
Trade talk is starting to slowly, very, like we got, from the last time we talked about it, it got pushed like an inch, to say the least.
Maybe half.
A trade happened. And I bet nobody even realized it.
Monumental.
Like, Josh Smith, the man who BZ banned from Detroit, back in Houston, or to some Houston fans, be like, hey, he's playing for us. We're wondering where he went.
Yeah, there's two types of Houston fans. There's the Josh Smith is back in Houston. Then there's the Josh Smith is back in Houston. Those are the two fans in Houston right now. So, yeah. I mean, it's just so sad, man. The Clippers, they tried to make, you know, some moves. And I think they're saying that they don't need all these pieces to compete. I think they just needed to pad their bench a little bit. Yeah. And, you know, there's just such a clutter with Lance and Josh there. And it's just no continuity. There's no real, the ball doesn't flow when those two guys are in the game at the same time. And they're both probably mad about their minutes. But I still think they should give Lance a chance. But Josh Smith had to go. He wasn't, you know, bringing anything to the team that they couldn't get from Aldridge. I mean, come on.
Cole Aldridge is above you on the depth chart. That might speak to something. So, but when you get traded for cash and foreign players who haven't even played in the NBA, you might not be wanted. Basically, that's the biggest move that's happened since the last time we talked about this, and there's been some reports maybe once a week. I think I come up with this, and I said this on the reaction video. I don't think we're going to hear that many rumors until we hit February 1st, which is when the last trade restrictions get lifted for, like, Danilo Gallinari and Marc Gasol, like those type of players that signed their longer extensions and are now available to be talked about on phone calls. So, and I guess typically last year what happened was the All-Star break is when a lot of trades are more likely to happen. So I'm like, okay, I guess we have to wait. But in the meantime, people love to speculate. People love to talk about, you know, this should happen or this should work or who, or the local, you know, Comcast Sports Network or whatever, Fox Sports, whatever your provider does for your basketball team. Yep. Talks about what players should this team target. Like, it happened for when I watched one of the last Celtics games. Like, they talked about, you know, Jared Dudley, Kevin Martin, Ben McLemore.
Kevin Martin.
So you'll see that and be like, oh, maybe we're finally going to hear a little bit more. No, you're not. Not yet. Not quite.
No thought.
the biggest trade rumor that we had for at least Celtics was the rumor is David Lee might be going to Toronto.
I don't really understand the point that I think Toronto has a nice core.
I don't know either, but I'm not going to say no.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think I sent you some trades.
Yes, you did. I have them all lined up because we're going to talk about some of these because Hugh likes to come up with these trades. Like, I thought I had some problems with the trade machine when I was trying to, like, just think of trades, but Q goes above and beyond.
I should be a GM.
Right?
Yeah.
Somebody get him a job. So the biggest Lakers. Popular... The big, you could do better than Jim Buss.
I think anyone could.
So, like, the biggest one you sent me was to all the people speculating about, you know, Kevin Love being on the block.
Yep.
I'm going to read this one right here. You have, it involves the Clippers, Grizzlies, and the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
And the players that go to Cleveland are Marc Gasol, Jeff Green, Jamal Crawford. Memphis gets Kevin Love, Lance Stephenson, and Mozgov. And the Clippers get Shumpert. Mm-hmm. And I think what you said was the biggest thing that they needed, or actually what the teams needed, Clippers need defense, which I agree.
Mm-hmm.
If the Grizzlies decide to blow it up of grit and grind, they get a quote-unquote star player to run their offense with Mike Conley
mm-hmm.
and have a somewhat comparable center. And then Cleveland gets their low post centerpiece and a wing, a couple wings.
Yeah. Should I explain or should I expand upon that?
Go, you can go right for it, man. This is your brilliance.
Alright, so the way I see it in this trade, in this what if trade, Memphis would be getting back. They would be getting younger. Considerably younger, I believe. And they will be getting, I had Lance, I had Kevin, and I had Mozgov. You would keep Kevin Love at the four, and you would, you know, have Mozgov or whoever. I really don't know who their backup center is. I don't watch that much Grizzlies, but from what I do watch of the Grizzlies, they need more finesse players. Yeah. They need scoring. They need someone to complement Mike Conley. And I think Mike Conley is more Kevin Love's point guard than a Kyrie could be. Because
Kyrie's a shooting guard.
Yeah, he's a shooting guard with incredible handles. And he doesn't have the passer gene. He just doesn't. Because he doesn't need it, because he can drop 40 if he wanted to.
He's that good at the basket.
He has a sweet three-point shot. And his mid-range is incredible. He has an amazing offensive array.
He's an and-one superstar.
Yeah, man, he's just incredible, you know. But the thing is, I think Mike Conley is more Kevin Love's play. You know, he's the, all right, I'm going to set you up in the post. I'm going to slow this game down for you. I'm going to let you go to work. You see what Marc Gasol do. You see what, what's his name? Zach Randolph. You see what Zach Randolph does. And, what they used to do. Sometimes they do it this season, but not at the clip that they used to be doing it at. And what makes the trade interesting to me is not even Kevin Love and Marc Gasol being the big pieces. It's Jamal Crawford. And a lot of people will look at that and be like, why would you want Jamal Crawford for Iman Shumpert?
Because the dude can still score.
Because the guy can still score, and they need more scoring on Cleveland. They need more scoring. Cleveland's a very stagnant team offensively when you don't have two of the stars going. When LeBron is not going and it's just Kyrie, it's the one-man Kyrie show. And all you got to do is just let Kyrie get his, but lock everyone else down. You're going to win the game if you're a good team, that is, and not if you're the Sixers. But anyway, you know, it's just – I think Marc Gasol fits in that team because Mozgov had a good little stretch of games in those playoffs. He had a good little stretch where everyone's like, oh, I think Mozgov could actually work here. But instead, you saw how – it's ringing its ugly head, his old past in Denver, man. It's just not working out. You know, he's coming off the bench sometimes for most of the time now, correct?
Wait, did you say Gasol?
No, Mozgov.
They had him starting, but he fluctuates.
Yeah, like he's in and out, and he's, you know, he's kind of a fringe, you know, starter, fringe backup player.
But he's regressed.
Yeah, he's regressed very, very badly. So Marc Gasol, to me, still has potential to be the best big man in basketball. Yes, I'm counting DeMarcus Cousins too. But in that system, I still think he does have the potential to be that because...
Isn't he 30?
I think he's, what, like 30 or 20? He's definitely not 29. He's thinking like 30 or 31.
He's pushing 30.
Yeah, I think it's like he might be 29 because Powell's like, what, 35, 36 now?
Yeah, he's 35 and still killing.
Yeah, still, and you see that these Euro players have longevity. So you're not just getting Marc Gasol for 2 years. You're going to get him for at least you could say another 6-7 years out of Marc Gasol.
So as long as you don't run him in the ground.
Exactly, and hopefully with Tyronn Lue, which we should have talked about. I really don't think he's going to be the final product.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, me neither. But Marc Gasol in that system of just What they were going to do in the playoffs was, we're going to beat the Warriors up inside. And they found out that they couldn't do that because the outside was just too much. They had no one who could get out on, you know, to get out on Steph or Klay or even Draymond.
Yeah, Marc Gasol, their wings were like locking. They were giving Steph the fits and Klay the fits. Tony Allen and... it wasn't Jeff Green. Was it Courtney Lee, maybe? It was Tony Allen and somebody else. They were definitely trying to, you know, slow the perimeter.
Yeah. And it kind of worked
It messed them up, and then they readjusted.
But they readjusted because that's what great coaching does. Like I said, you need a great coach. But Marcus Gasol would be the inside guy. They could just, because here's the beauty of it. If Kyrie's off and LeBron is just, you know, fair weather, you know, he might have 16
chucking bricks
and, you know, two assists through three quarters. Here's what they could do. All right, y'all want to play slow. Let's slow the game down. Mark, get inside. And they could just go crazy inside with Marcus Gasol. He'll kick out to his shooters like Jamal Crawford and J.R. Smith and Kyrie. And they could just run small ball with one big. They could run small ball with just one big of Marcus Gasol, man, and just have shooters everywhere. So you either pick your poison of, you know, double covering, you know, the hot hand, or you have to double team Marcus Gasol. But a lot of people don't understand that the reason why you trade away Iman Shumpert is the fact that Iman Shumpert is not bringing nothing to your team other than a good defense in stretches. I will sacrifice good defense in stretches for consistent offense or even spotty offense every single time. Because if you can outscore people, then your defense, sometimes you just need to log up a couple minutes, and any player is capable of doing that. Even James Harden has those moments where he could dig deep and give you 2 minutes of, you know, good defense. And Iman Shumpert, to me, he's more of a detriment to the team because he just doesn't shoot good, man. He just, like, his shot is just awful to me. So the big pieces, like I said, you would get Kevin Love, you would get Lance Stephenson, and you would get Miles Gov. Cleveland, the reason why you want Jeff Green is because you have no small forward.
Yes, he can still be – he's inconsistent, but he can definitely play defense better.
He can play – he's giving you what Iman could do. So that's what I'm saying. He's a better shooter than
Iman. He's a better stroke,
He has a better shot. He's hit more clutch shots. And he shoots better at the free throw line. And he's giving you small forward depth. And he can get to the basket much better than Iman Shumpert. So – you're not losing in anything in this trade. Memphis gets younger. They get a couple pieces. They get some trade pieces also if they wanted to. And they could just balance this out, and they could balance out their cap by getting up under, you know, Marc Gasol. And who's to say, man? You might flip Kevin Love again if you're Memphis, because you might just want draft picks. Who knows?
Maybe.
So that's my scenario for that. I think each team would benefit from it because I think the Clippers get some defense. They're not really losing much with Lance not being that much of a factor. I think Cleveland gets the big, you know, the big piece of chicken. You know what I'm saying? They get Marc Gasol, and they can feast all day inside, kick out. He plays great defense, great low post defender. You get Jeff Green, small forward depth, like I said. And then
– right.
Else is satisfied. I think everyone should do this trade. It's everyone is satisfied. Everyone's needs and everyone's down the road needs are satisfied.
Right. And I would think if that was going to be a blockbuster deal, that would probably, well, that would probably be it. But even then, Marc Gasol, I would still feel a little bit pity because then he's got to live up to that expectation because he's already a great center, but now it's like, now you've got to win.
I don't know.
That's the only thing. Like, as much as, you know, want to play, for those that want to, like, those players that want to play with LeBron, you're going to get that pressure on you as well.
Would Marc Gasol not immediately become the best center in the East? He would automatically become the best center in the East. Yeah, Whiteside, man. All right, cool, great. Yeah, you get a couple blocks. All right, Vucevic, you're really good.
Definitely better than Vucevic.
Yeah. So who's there?
Drummond, maybe.
I think it's definitely a toss.
You can get on him for the free throws. You can get on him for the free throws.
Yeah.
Take
some defensive plays off too.
Marc Gasol's got the better post up moves, and he can dribble the ball better.
Exactly. Better floor vision too.
Definitely better passer. Yeah,
it's all I'm saying is it would not be a wash between those two, but I think he would automatically become in contention or to a lot of people the best center in the East. And you get low post scoring for Cleveland, man. They don't have that, and you could just play the lineup could just literally be
LeBron could finally play point guard and just, you know, exactly throw a pick and roll.
The lineup could be literally just have Kyrie, LeBron James, plug in, you know, Jeff Green at the three. Just let LeBron be shooting guard and just let him handle the ball.
I would say let him be point guard and let Kyrie be shooting guard.
Either, yeah. Actually, that's probably a lot better for real. Just like, for real, you could just unofficially, the lineup would look like LeBron at the one, Kyrie at the two, Jeff Green at the three, Tristan Thompson for the rebounding, and Marc Gasol for low post scoring defense and floor vision.
Right.
That would be incredible. I think you get all facets of basketball in that. You have the hot hand for the shooting. You have the floor vision. You have the IQ of LeBron James. You have the athleticism, and you have the defensive acumen.
You have a better height, too.
Exactly.
Better height for when you go up against those big guys. Like, if you ran up against, like, say, a Hassan Whiteside, you have somebody to match up with his height.
Exactly. And when you face the Golden States, guess what? You can just run. You can just run. All right. Kyrie at the one. Jamal Crawford, J.R. Smith at the two. LeBron at the three. And you could just run Tristan and just plug in somebody else. Or you could just play Mark and be fun. Because you have scoring at three positions.
Right. I'd say it'd be a good idea. But will they do it? Will Memphis want to blow it up?
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't know. But actually, the one trade rumor I wanted to get on, and I looked up, shout out to Kyle and FIFO on that reaction video. They said they saw Kevin Love and Boogie rumors. And I was just already skeptic as hell, because I was like, where did you guys see this? And they said they saw it on Bleacher Report, the SB Nation, something. It was a reputable source, they said. I did some Googling. I couldn't find it, but I did find where I saw someone post it. And I don't recognize the site, so they are out there. I don't know how much I haven't seen it on Hoops Hype either, so that's why I was just like, okay, I'm gonna hold off a little bit. But I was immediately skeptic because it makes no sense. Yes, DeMarcus Cousins, obviously, but it's lopsided. It's absolutely lopsided. DeMarcus Cousins, yes, the Cleveland Cavaliers would be an unfair force at that point, but Vlade doesn't make that call.
Why would Vlade even help out LeBron?
When Vlade's not even taking calls in the first place, he's not even responding. Executives are saying, like, all over, it was on Hoops Hype like weeks ago, Vlade's not returning calls. Vlade's not taking calls.
Yeah.
The only thing they actively did was Rudy Gay for Ryan Anderson. That was the only legitimate, valid call that they said, yes, this happened, but it didn't happen.
So I don't see that happening at all.
No.
But hypothetically, if that did happen,
oh my God, I'd be so pissed off.
No, because it just doesn't make sense. What? All right, so your five is what? Rondo, Ben McLemore, Rudy Gay,
Costa Kufas,
Kevin Love. No, Kevin Love and Willie Cauley-Stein.
Costa Kufas.
I would imagine it would take more than just DeMarcus to get that deal done. So I would think that someone like Darren Collison is being thrown into. Or someone like Ben McLemore, or maybe even a Rudy Gay could be thrown in. Who knows? For like a Kevin Love, a Mozgov, and a J.R. Smith. Who knows? But you know, it just doesn't make sense. The trade is nonsensical.
I don't agree with it. It's just
and Boston fans all over the world, like Washington fans all over the world, would weep simultaneously.
Like the hate would grow even deeper than it already has for the history. But other than that, I mean, the thing about Kevin Martin, actually, because I know we talked about this before about his trade, the biggest thing for him is whether or not he's willing to restructure his deal, because he has that option for the second year that's worth seven or eight, and I guess those GMs are worried about his injury history or something like that. So they're wondering if he'll restructure his deal like I think Corey Brewer did for Houston, like Ty Lawson did. Oh, speaking of which, the most likely talk, actually not even most likely, the only talk about Ty Lawson going anywhere was Milwaukee. But even then, they're saying, nothing's happened right now. Doesn't look like it.
Maybe that makes no sense.
I don't even know. Like, I don't know.
Would you trade Jabari Parker?
See, Bill Simmons talked about this. He talked about this
I don't listen to Bill like religiously like some people do. I just think about these things because I watch the games, and we don't even know like what Jabari is. Is he a small forward?
He's a power forward.
He's power forward now?
He's been power forward from the jump.
Are you serious? He was a small forward in college.
I'll look him up right now. He's power forward.
It's just ugly. Like, it's just like...
That's why Spoelstra said, or whoever said it, said if you could say the Jason Kidd is coach of the year, because that's truly positionless basketball. I was watching them play the Wizards, and I'm saying to myself, they're not even locking up with their potential like counterparts on the other team. Like, they are switching.
They're just switching
so much, and it's like
that's tiresome.
Giannis Antetokounmpo is like at one point he's the small forward, but it's like you think he's the power forward. And Greg Monroe is your center, but you could say Giannis could play center too. I don't know. Jabari is a power forward, though, but
he doesn't make sense. All right, would you trade Jabari and what's his name? Would you trade Jabari and Greg Monroe for DeMarcus Cousins and Rudy Gay?
Because
you're giving up the future. And you're getting back a player who's okay, like in Rudy Gay, and you're getting back a great player in DeMarcus, who might not even want to be there.
Oh my god. Kid could probably. Well, personally, I would say Boogie's better than Greg Monroe.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and Rudy Gay is inconsistent, but he's more solid than what Jabari is right now.
Can I tell you what? I had a revelation. I had a dream, right? I had a dream that it was a three-team trade with the Knicks, the Sixers, and the Bucks. And the Knicks ended up getting Greg Monroe. The Bucks got Jahlil Okafor. And the Sixers got Jabari Parker. And
you dreaming?
I'm dreaming really hard. But I would do that if I was any of those people. Those people, obviously. But
yeah,
I think it makes sense.
But you saw the report that the Sixers are unlikely to make a trade.
I've also seen the reports that
Jahlil's first to go.
Yeah, Jahlil. Like I've also seen the reports that Joel Embiid is officially healthy for the season. Says, and that's completely been a lie. I've also seen the reports that. The Sixers love Kristaps Porzingis. Didn't take him. So it's like, I don't take anything the Philly media says seriously, because we just do the opposite of everything. Watch trade deadline come, we end up trading Jahlil for Victor Oladipo or something, and everyone will be like, oh, I can't believe this is the worst team of all. They're just trading all their good players.
Happen. That won't happen.
It wouldn't happen, but it would much. Because it's Sam Hinkie. It's just like stuff like that.
Yeah, but other than that, there's been very little, a lot of speculation, some rumors. Like the best sources I've got are Basketball Insiders, and Steve Kyler is the most who's actually replying to his mentions, saying, this is what I've heard. No, doesn't seem likely. That doesn't seem likely. These people have talked that he's like the only one that actually is giving any light of day to about anything.
What other trades did I send you?
You sent me.
Call. Just pick your favorite one.
Oh my god. You know what? I'm going to do this one because this would be so sad for Kelly Oubre.
Stop it.
You gave me DeMarcus. Gave me Boogie Cousins, Duke Dukan, for Nene Hilario, Otto Porter, and Kelly Oubre.
Would never happen in a million years, but it could happen because it's just the Kings, man.
You just love Kelly Oubre.
Kelly, I love you, bro, but, like, it's just not like that.
It would be so sad.
I mean, yeah, he would be very, very angry. He would be very angry, but, it's okay, though, because you still got, what's his name there, the keep your company, Macklemore. You'd be all good. Dude. This trade would never happen in a million years. These are the what ifs. These are just the, out of your mind, never could happen type of things. So my thinking behind this is the fact that John Wall gets to reunite with DeMarcus Cousins, and that makes the destination for Kevin Durant much more feasible. Yeah. I think the only way you could justify this to Kings fans is, hey, we got a bunch of young depth. We have a player that George Karl's familiar with.
Yeah, better wings.
And you could, you know, tank. I don't know. There's no real justification for the Kings to do this, but all the incentive in the world for the Wizards to do this, because if you could finesse DeMarcus Cousins on that contract, and what's his name, Bradley Beal.
No.
I think you have a chance at landing
Kevin. Not with his minutes limit restriction.
Yeah, but I think that could probably
work in their favor. That killed a lot of the value.
I think it could work in their favor, though, dude. Because think about this. Kevin's going to want the ball, and Bradley is going to be on minute restriction, so that gives him the opportunity to not have been in a shootout competition with him every night. And this is just in the hypothetical world that this trade goes down and Kevin Durant considers this. The math is all there for the cap to work. Yeah, okay. It could happen.
All right. So I'm going to give you this last one, and give me just one sec. Don't mind me. All right. I need to just – I'm going to let you speak on this, okay? I'm going to be quiet, okay? You gave me New York Knicks, Ty Lawson, and KJ McDaniels to Houston for Aaron Aflalo, Jose Calderon, and Langston Galloway. I'm going to be quiet for a couple minutes, and I want you to speak on this one, all right?
It just makes sense. Ty Lawson to me is not making a huge contribution. I think you get a point guard like a Patrick Beverley, who's, you know, hard-nosed to the grind and knows how to make the smart pass, can shoot the three, gives you some good offense. You're giving up KJ McDaniels, which is nothing, because all you do is use him to foul Andre Drummond 5 times in 30 seconds to set a world record. The Knicks need a point guard who can help cultivate the talent and help Melo and Kristaps bring out the best in each other. And Jose can do that, but I'm not at the level that I think someone like Ty Lawson. And you're trading Aaron Aflalo because I saw the trade talk for him. Maybe he wants to shoot more or whatever, or get more involved in the offense, because he has, you know, fallen off from his days. I think he was in Denver of when he was like that guy. And I think it just makes sense for all three parties to do it, because you're not giving up that much, and Houston gets to pad their bench. And this is a problem with Cleveland. Like I said, Cleveland, they don't have a great bench. When you have a superstar, follow the San Antonio model of getting a great bench to use to complement them when their superstars get tired, they can't get going, or they just don't have it. And that's all they need. Langston Galloway, to me, fine. Give them Jose Calderon, good scoring, can officiate the can initiate the offense and keep James Harden going. They don't have that right now. They just have a bunch of guys shooting the ball, taking, you know, miracle threes to go into overtime with the Clippers. That's not offense. That's not offense. Jose Calderon can run an offense and keep James Harden going. That's my reasoning for the trade. I want your opinion.
Okay. It's better for the Knicks. Absolutely. Ty Lawson gets another shot. He can run the offense. You get rid of Calderon. Caden McDaniels has good defense. Like, he was prospering in Philly as a shot blocker, because I had him for my fantasy team last year. For Houston.
What would the reservations be? Because read me
Aaron Aflalo.
Houston is getting, and I'll break it down.
Aaron Aflalo is inconsistent as a wing, but you already have Trevor Ariza, who's playing
pretty damn good.
Yeah, but let me think. He's playing, because James Harden's shooting guard, and Trevor's playing small forward.
Yeah.
Even though Ariza could be the shooting guard. Aflalo could play better off the bench, probably.
I'm saying.
Galloway could be depth.
I'm saying.
Calderon. Maybe he wouldn't have to run as much.
Just initiate the offense. He's the guy to come up to be a court. Said, James, wing. James, wing. I got you. Assist, three. Instead of James bring up the ball and be like, everyone go clear out. Everyone clear out.
Or when he tells Terrence Jones to back off himself.
Yeah, no screen. Let me get this. It's like, come on, dude. Just shoot the ball. Like, come
this
on.
This ain't 1-on-5, bro.
One. It's like, oh my God, James. Yeah. He goes right to the basket, Euros into a foul shot. It's just like, that's ugly offense. That doesn't work in the playoffs. Refs hold the whistle.
You're not an MVP for that.
So you know what you get in those three players? You get scoring off the bench, because I think a follow would probably recognize the fact that he has someone above him, like a James Harden. He wouldn't mind coming off. You have Langston Galloway, who's a better player right now than KJ McDaniels. I'm not saying the potential for KJ isn't better, because it is, but KJ needs to flourish. KJ needs to be in a developmental team. So let me explain. By development.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Because he's being sent down to the D League while Houston's trying to win.
Houston's like, that's cute, KJ. I saw all your blocks on your hoop mixtape, but
no, dude, go out and do these 5 fouls for me on Andre.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, whistles every 3 seconds. That's just ridiculous. So he needs to be on a developmental team. The reason why Kristaps is going so crazy right now, and the reason why I think people like Karl Anthony Towns and Jaleel would be doing the same thing also, but we'll get into that later on in another podcast. And I'm not saying he's not talented. I'm just saying I think people need to pump the brakes a little bit. The reason why Kristaps is going so crazy right now, going insane, balling out of control, is the fact that Derek Fisher realizes that deep down he realizes that we're pushing for an 8th seed to develop talent. We're not going to win the NBA Finals. We're not going to beat the Warriors. We're not going to beat the Spurs in a 7-game series. We're not even going to beat the Kings, probably, in a 7-game series. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to develop this talent.
You know what you could do, though?
What?
Just to justify... Sorry to cut you off, but just to justify it, what if they traded Carmelo?
That would just betray everything. That the Knicks wanted, like all the Knicks fans,
but there's a lot of Knicks fans there. Just like, we love you, Carmelo. We love that you love New York. We love you that you want to embrace everything and being a Knick for life. But at this point, you're on the post prime area where you're still doing very well. You're passing the ball more than ever, but you're probably not gonna be the best potential piece when Kristaps hits his prime. We're probably in a better spot.
I think he's at where Paul Pierce was in 2011 when LeBron started to take the crown.
Oh, dude. Ugh.
Like, you know, like, Paul was still great. He was still the closer. He could still get you 30
still on the truth.
Every
he's still
blue
the truth.
Moon. He was still getting you at least 15-8. But, dude.
Ugh. That hurts.
Dude, it just wasn't there anymore. It wasn't 08. It wasn't 08, but it wasn't terrible. It was like, oh yeah, Paul, man, you are the truth. But you're not the truth no more. So, you know what I'm saying? It just happened. It's like AI when he was, you know, with Chris Webb. Oh, like, AI, God. You are the God still.
Yeah. But
you not 2001 AI no more. You not God that damn. Guy.
God damn.
It hurts, man. It hurts when your legends have to just take the cape off and just sit.
I'm such a diehard truth fan.
No, it just happened. So, I mean, that's an interesting point.
Shout out to Tyronn Lue.
Yes. Stepping over. And by the way, if you haven't seen Allen Iverson's tweet to Tyronn Lue, I don't know if that was even real or that was like, it's a joke. But
I don't know if that was like low-key shit or savage or what, but
either way, that was the best thing that made my whole week. Congratulations, bro. Love you. I was like, oh my God. Hopefully I can step over you soon. But yeah, KJ needs to go to a team where he can develop his talent. The Sixers, the reason why that we can find people like Robert Covington and we can find guys like Rashawn Holmes is because we let these guys just play. Yo, go out there and just shoot. Like, yo, go out there and defend. It doesn't matter. Just play with energy. KJ was like, all right, I got you. He would go out there, put some putback dunks. He would block players. He would have like 7 blocks in a game sometimes. And he would just, you know, cash out on a couple threes. He was working on his shot. But when we traded him to Houston, Morey And McHale, they ruined him. They said, yeah, this kid's nice, but we're in pursuit of a championship. And to me, Houston is not supposed to be in win-now mode. They're not supposed to be in championship or bust mode. They can still build while trying to win. And to me, it's like they're putting together these makeshift squads of unnecessary pieces that just don't fit. And if Carmelo was to go, I think they could be a contender for sure. Then they would definitely be a contender. But you would have two chuckers on the same team. That's like having, yeah, dude, that's
with Dwight Howard putting up 20 Dwight rebounds.
Having no ambition to play basketball at all. It would be incredible to see.
Oh my God.
But they would have to give up Ty Lawson, though. They would have to give up Ty Lawson. They would have
They would do it, though. They would do it.
They would do it, for sure. And you would also have to come off that first-round pick for me to send you Carmelo,
too. Oh, they would absolutely have to be picks on us. Absolutely. So, for Carmelo. Carmelo deserves picks.
Definitely. I see that we're running low on time, so I think we should say about other trades for next week and get into this last topic real quick.
Yeah, let's get the last one. Yeah, good. Let's tank and playoff push time.
All right.
You know, over halfway season, we're at that point where teams are like, okay, we need these trades. I need it. These are the people I'm calling out. These are our targets. This is where we're going to make our push. Either we're setting in or you're like Phoenix. We're like, no, we're not out of a playoff spot, but we'll know next week if we're tanking. You're tanking, bro. You're tanking.
We know
Lakers, like Byron Scott's like, okay, I'm going to put the rookies in now. Oh, really? Gee, I didn't notice. I just happen to check Tankathon every day.
All right, so real quick, who are your guys who suggest tank right now?
Honestly?
Give me three.
Phoenix, obviously.
Obviously.
But besides them, teams that should tank. I consider the Wizards a little bit.
You think so?
A little bit. I'm not saying yes. But only because either Paul Pierce really instilled something on that Washington team to push them over the hump, or you need to make some trade. Either they make trade. Okay, I'll put it like this. If Washington doesn't trade or does improve their roster to improve their record in the East, because they're sitting on the outside looking in, and if they don't, they might want to tank.
That hurts, man.
That does hurt, but Whitman got to go. That's another topic for what coaches we think we should be gone. But
yeah.
Like, if they don't trade to better their squad, to better their rotation, to better their record, because I think they might have a losing record, or they're just fringe 500, it's sad. They might need to consider it if they don't trade.
Yeah.
Another team? I just saw this from Hardwood Paroxysm. Minnesota is not that far from another lottery pick.
No, they're like what, sitting at fourth right now, and it's pissing me off because I swear to God,
if that lineup
next year is Ricky Rubio, Zach LaVine, Andrew Wiggins, Ben Simmons, I'm going to
slip. Go to bomb shelter.
And it might be my
bomb shelter.
Like, it's just.
Oh my God. That legit might be the NBA super team people have been like dreaming of for so long.
Or they'll just say, you know what, F Ben Simmons, we're getting, or like, you know, they might just get the fourth pick and say, all right, yo, Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, Andrew Wiggins, like I'm just done, like I'm done with this team, like just get them Thibodeau and call it a day. Something like David Blatt. Here, like God,
David Blatt,
no.
Yeah, so I saw that and said if they got Ben Simmons, like they might have just beaten Sam Hinkie at trusting the process.
No, they at that point. The process, dude. They just inherited the most
Look.
Oh my God. Don't even get me started on that shit right now, please. Go on to the next team.
Okay. Okay.
Go ahead.
Pelicans.
Yes, they need to tank.
Because Alvin Gentry don't want to But he got him.
He said either it was last week or this past week about one game at a time. We'll see how these next games go because they weren't that far from the... they're not... I think they're 4 games out or 5 games out from Sacramento. Kings update. Sacramento is in the 8th seed.
Oh, Kings update. And not the Iowa point. Terrible. God, I hate them so much. Just take the loss. they just won't lose to the Lakers, man. They can't get throw me a bone.
Oh, man.
So many close L's to the Lakers. I'm just like, God, Lou Williams. That's someone who needs a trade. Also Lou Williams is going somewhere.
Brandon Bass and Roy Hibbert are too.
Yeah, but we already know that. So is that your three?
Yeah, Pelicans, Timberwolves, Wizards.
Okay, here's my...
Wizards are conditional, obviously, but yeah.
Here's my three. Since you have a conditional, I'll start off with a conditional. Milwaukee. Not feeling it. Really not feeling the team right now. I like the pieces that they have. I'm just really...
Greg Monroe kind of fucked it up.
I'm just not feeling it at all. No. I think Greg Monroe is so much of an offensive,
his defense is not great.
His defense is just such a liability. Mm-hmm. I think Jabari has no position. He's just out there. He's
trying so hard.
He wants to live up to what he was.
Gatorade commercial.
Yeah, he just wants to be that guy, and they're just not letting him be that guy. They're not giving him the ball enough. I see it. They want to make Greek Freak the star, and that's terrible because Greek Freak, to me, should be the second option. He would eat at second option, but he's the first option, and they got
Middleton's MCW. Middleton's worth his contract, though.
they got MCW in there, and it's just like, oh, my goodness.
He kind of improved, but Middleton is proving his contract.
I love Chris Middleton. I love him. I think he's fantastic player.
He's shown it wasn't just a fluke.
Nah, his shooting is very, very rare in the NBA. It's hard to shoot like that in any level, especially from mid-range, too. Ridiculous.
Oh, my God, yeah.
He's
steals. A player, too. Yeah, he's got nice steals.
So Milwaukee is one of my conditionals. If they don't make any trades, if they don't try to pay
right,
that bench,
right.
they should just still tank, bro, because, hey,
you beat the Warriors that one time. There you
go. Because, bro, like, give me Chris Dunn or Jamal Murray on this team. Jabari's getting set up for
a trade.
So much more points. No, if they just get Chris Dunn, if they get Jamal Murray...
If they get Jamal Murray, then he might get traded.
Yeah, like, if they get Trimble, then they're getting points. So it's like, come on now. Milwaukee, Phoenix just needs to just let it go, man. You got...
Get rid of Marquis. Get him off.
Just let him go. Please let that boy go.
You did the man dirty. Let him go.
Free him, bro. Like, let my people go, bro. Like, just please. And Phoenix got to go. And my other team... It might surprise you. I would like to call this a conservative tank. Meaning, don't go, overboard and try to make a trade. Just do what you're doing right now because you're on pace for a lottery pick. And that's Orlando.
Oh.
I think Orlando needs one more piece and they're there. I think they need one more piece and they're there. One more year of development. They don't need to push for that eighth spot. Even though they can, push for it and fall short, I think they're going to fall like 4 games short of.
Well, Skiles finally put Gordon in the starting lineup because he finally woke up. The Channing Frye was a liability, but
they need to trade Fournier at the deadline.
Yes.
Or they need to get a young talented player back. And you know what I would do it for?
Or a better center.
No, deadass. I would...
No, I mean like backup to Vucevic.
Well, I would trade Fournier for McDaniels and some picks.
For KJ?
Yeah. Since they're all about young athletic talent in Orlando, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Imagine.
Scott Skiles would like a shot block.
Can you imagine Alfred Payton, Mario Hezonja?
Ugh.
With KJ McDaniels,
Free Hezonja,
Aaron Gordon, and just plug in one of those Tavares guys or whatever his name is. and Oladipo. You'll be straight. Jump out the gym.
You got so many pieces, yet you still.
Because they don't have, dude. Like, thing is though, they have just a gambit of riches, and they just have.
It's criminal.
It's criminal, and the thing is though, they have, and like I said on the last podcast, they have the ability to either cultivate that talent and keep it, and keep it homegrown, or they could cash out buying a star. They could get a desperate squad like Cleveland and say, hey, we'll give you Oladipo for Kevin Love in a pick.
I don't think they're going to cash out for a star. I think they're going to do like Danny Ainge and just get an upgrade.
I think they're going to home grow this thing. I want to see how it goes.
The smart thing to do.
And they're going to get another lottery pick. They're probably going to pick like 11th or 10th or something of that sort. And
yeah.
It's gonna be
assuming everything stays the course.
Yeah, it's gonna be good for them, and I can see this program moving in a way in which, in just watch 3 years, we're gonna say, yo, teams actually passed on Aaron Gordon. That's
actually, you know what? I got one more to throw in there. The Phoenix was the obvious one, but Charlotte.
You think so,
dude? They're like five games under. Off. He is.
Dropped 40 last night, dog.
Yeah, he dropped 50 the other day too in double overtime or something like that, and he deserves better.
You think they need a star small forward?
They need Michael Kidd-Gilchrist back, obviously.
Yeah.
Because he's coming back from his torn labrum, but
yeah,
they had it going in the beginning, and it was like, oh shoot, Charlotte's in the mix, and now they're like, what, five games under? Let me look this up.
I don't think they should blow it up. I think they should just...
No, not blow it up. Not blow it up, but...
But just, like, call it a day and pack it in. I don't think they should do that either. I think they're right on the court.
Do you see them making a trade?
No.
They're in 11th place. They're in 11th place, okay? They're 21 and 23, and they are viewed as being a worse team on all these power rankings right now. I've just been reading. They view the Wizards better. They view the Knicks better. And they might view the Magic better too. Mm-hmm. And it's just like they're so close.
They're right there. They need a three.
Like if they don't do any trades and they still keep, you know, going 500 on road trips or 500 streaks, it's just
they just need somebody, bro. They need one more star, because Kemba to me is a star.
He's an all-star. Yeah, he's all-star talent.
But
He's underrated point guard. Absolutely.
Yeah. Would you do Whiteside for Al Jefferson?
If I'm Charlotte, probably. But that's assuming he's going to buy in.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, they're both a little injury prone, a little bit.
And yeah, they both have those issues. That's the thing. So I think.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know, man, because you're losing that defense in Miami, and that's their anchor. I don't know, dude.
Yeah, but it's supposedly that they have a better defense when he's not on the court.
I got something for you.
Go.
Last thing. All right. Would you do Kevin Love for Al Jefferson?
Yes.
I'm taking that deal. Alright, yeah. I'll want to pick too. I'm throwing 2016 top 10 protected pick.
Yeah, because they love Kaminsky that much to be the centerpiece. Why not thrust them in?
Yeah.